Governing Principles for Raising Breakthrough Believers, Part 3. In Chapter 6, we're going to take a further look at Governing Principles for Breakthrough Believers. The principles we have, we're going to cover in this chapter is, number one, honoring covenant relationships in marriage, family, ministry team, and church life. And secondly, expressing crisis compassion to reach the unsaved and meet the needs of the community. So we'll start off our lesson tonight by first building a foundation of what a covenant is. Apostle talked about covenant a little bit tonight and its significance as it relates to the kingdom of God and breakthrough believers. So what is a covenant? Covenant is a written agreement or a promise, usually under seal between two or more parties, especially for the performance of a common agenda, which can only be broken or nullified by death. I think that one of the things about a covenant that the Western world don't understand is that it's not the same thing as a contract. It's not the same thing. You know, we look at one of the strongest words we have for covenant is it really relates to a contract, and it's not the same because, you know, we break contracts every day. You know, you have a contract, you know, with you sign a contract saying, you know, you got a new living room set and you say you're going to pay for it, you know, on time and that kind of thing and stuff. And then when things get tight, man, you forget all about that. You know, you got to do what you got to do. So, but a covenant is different. A covenant can only be broken by death. So in a true godly covenant, it is not about what the other person can do for you, but what you can do for the other person, period. Not caring about what they can do for you. Now, this is something that you have to be trained. It's not something that just fall on you. I think about, like the mafia. The mafia understand covenant because, you know, they have that binding thing, you know, where it can only be separated by death. When I grew up on the street, one of the things that we learned was to have each other's back no matter what. So if we together and something go down, then I don't run off. I have to put my life on the line. You understand what I'm saying? So, but it's something how the mafia, street gangs and stuff know how to really be in relationship, in covenant relationship. A lot of times the church don't understand it. And so in order for us to be breakthrough believers, in order for us to really be this finishing generation, we got to get a hold of covenant. We got to get a hold of understanding of covenant because God called us to work alongside people, and God called us, you know, to be fathered by people. So we can't have a backstabbing mentality. We have to have this kind of love that will go to the end no matter what. And that's what covenant is really about. So a covenant provides the protection and security that is needed for the parties to be honorable and accountable to each other on their journey together. So the way that they were cut a covenant, it was like the farmers and the warriors. When the farmers and the warriors, you know, the warriors could fight, but the farmers knew how to grow the food. So now, the farmers, because they couldn't fight, folk would come and take their food. And so what they'd do, they'd make a covenant with warriors who could fight for them to protect their food while they fed the warriors. So the warrior's strength is not going to be any good if he don't have nothing to eat. So they come together and form a covenant. So what they would do was they would find a representative. They find a representative that would really be the poster child of the farmer. In other words, it'll be the person who really know about agriculture and that sort of thing and stuff. And then the person
who they would choose for the warrior would be a person who could really fight. You understand what I'm saying? And so they'd come together. They'd be the representative. And so they'd have the ceremony. And what they would do is they would they would begin to, they would have terms to the covenant. You know, they iron out the agreements and that kind of thing and stuff. And then they had these representatives where they would really enter into a blood covenant where they would cut their wrists. They would cut each one of them wrists. And then they would take their blood and they would drop it in. It would drain into a cup and it would be stirred. And it was called one blood. You with me? And so they would do that. And then after they would do that, they would put some kind of powder in there, gunpowder or something in there, so that it could make a big scar. And so the scar would always remind them of that we are in covenant together. So whenever I saw that scar on my hand, that make me understand that I'm in covenant. I can't forget this, because if I break this covenant, that means I die. You with me? And I believe that once we really get a real understanding of covenant, we won't be giving somebody our word and then going back on it. You with me? And then they would have, there was a lot of things that would go on, just like when Abraham cut a covenant with God, when God cut the covenant with Abraham, God was trying to find somebody he could trust. That's what the covenant is all about, having somebody you can trust, having somebody that's got your back, having somebody that's got your interest at heart. You with me? So when God cut the covenant with Abraham, the Bible talks about how they took this animal and they cut him in half, and they would split him. They split him in half, and then they put both halves on the side. And so right in the middle is where the blood would all spill in there. And so they would, Abraham, he walked right through that blood. It was called a bloody walk. And so, and the purpose for that blood was to stay on their conscience that, and see, one thing you'll never forget blood. You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking, whether in the hospital room or wherever. So it was to stay conscious on their conscience that this is an agreement that we can't afford to break. So as breakthrough believers, we have to come to a place where we understand, man, we can't be wishy-washy with our decision that we've made to follow the person who God has called us to follow, to do the work that's supposed to be done. See, the apostle has an agenda. So my following the apostle, I don't come in with my agenda. I follow his agenda. You understand what I'm saying? We were in Guatemala, and, you know, they had man, they had people walking around with machine guns, all kind of things, you know. And so I'm riding in the convoy, and I'm riding in the one where Apostle was. And so the Lord asked me a question. The Lord said, if something go down, would you lay your life down? Would you be ready to risk your life for your apostle? I said, yep. I said, yes, sir. I said, yes, sir, I would. And so So, you know, you can't be nowhere where, you know, you don't know where you are and stuff. You know, you're telling God, oh, yeah, yeah. But no. This has to be a decision that you made long before you got there. You understand what I'm saying? So, and y'all listen to this. This is something that the church is really lacking. This is why God, the miracles, the signs and wonders and that sort of thing is not really manifesting, because everybody really is trying to do their own thing. A lot of times, you know, people, you know, well, I want my own thing. I want my own. Many times, people are not even first. They're not even a first man. You understand what I'm saying? Pastor, whatever. They could be a second man. And sometimes you just have to be the best of what God has called you to be, and understand that this is who I am. I'm here to assist. I'm here to help. I'm here to do whatever's necessary to get the job done. And so as breakthrough believers, see, we have a generation of renegades, people who really don't want to follow no orders, really don't want to nobody to tell them anything. And so what they're doing is they're going about trying to establish their own thing. And then under the guise of, you understand, the Lord told me, Many times we've got people who are doing stuff that God didn't tell them to do, but because they did not want to really operate in covenant. See, watch this. Whatever you're not willing to give, you'll never be able to receive that from somebody else, because if you're not willing to submit to somebody, nobody really would, with true submission, would be able to submit to you. Never. It will never happen. What you don't make happen for another man will never happen for you. You understand what I'm saying? So so there has to be accountability, honor and accountability to each other on that journey together. So a covenant will quicken or make alive the relationship until it bears the fruit of purpose. Hallelujah. Praise God. The common denominator in all covenant relationships should be to fulfill the fulfillment of God's agenda. So whenever the apostle has an agenda that's from God, one of the things that I've been like this for a long time, and I think that, you know, growing up where I grew up and that kind of thing and stuff, if I'm going to follow you, I'm going to follow you with all, I'm going to follow you with all my might, all my heart, I'm going to follow. You understand? And so whether I'm being corrected, whether I'm being rebuked or whatever and stuff, it don't make no difference because my decision already been made. You with me? A lot of times people make decisions to follow, but it's based on whether or not you're going to rebuke me or whether or not you're going to correct me and that kind of thing and stuff. And that's maybe something I'm not willing to suffer into that. So, but the thing that you have to know is that in order to walk in to accomplish God's agenda, you will have to have somebody who's going to stretch you, who's going to pull your strings sometime. You with me? You got to have, that's the only way growth can take place. You're not gonna grow unless you've got somebody who's going to be able to correct you and in the correction. I might have to shed some tears. I might get my feelings hurt, but guess what? I'm jumping right back up, getting right back in it. You understand what I'm saying? And when that happens, God knows that he got somebody he can trust. Covenant shows God that this is somebody that I can trust. Once you really understand covenant, you are saying to God that I'm somebody, God, that you can really trust. God said, now, amen. Now I can promote you because the work of God is so great until there are so many things that God is doing with every assignment that there's always something for everybody to do. But if we look at things as a little minute chore, this here, that, and watch this. In covenant, you have to be able to take the low end. You have to be able to, if it's washing the toilets or whatever stuff, you got to be willing to do it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I know they don't go over too good, but it's right though. There is a said value, purpose, destiny, or intention that the parties involved in a covenant work towards together to fulfill. It's called kingdom agenda. Hallelujah. They work together until the common agenda is achieved. We were in Florida with the apostle this Thursday and Friday. And where the apostle stayed at was like about an hour and something away from where the church is. And so I could have gotten a hotel real close to the church where, you know, when church started, I could have been right there. You understand what I'm saying? And when the church is out, I could have just went right to the hotel and that kind of thing and stuff. You know, because we had to go Thursday night, Friday morning, then Friday night, and then we had to go and we had to return. You with me? But, you know, apostle not gonna stay at those little hotels. You got to have a 5-star hotel. You understand what I'm saying? So now, all right. I could stay at a cheaper motel it can cost me to stay at a five-star. You with me? But because the apostle is there, I'm going to get somewhere where I am close to him just in case something come up and he called, I'm going to be right there. It's not going to take, see, the church from the hotel where he stayed at, like I said, was an hour or something, an hour, 15 minutes or so. And we was going and coming, going and coming. I mean, a whole lot of, when I got home Saturday, boy, I was so wore out. But the price got to be paid. You understand what I'm saying? If you're going to follow. And so there were some people that were saying how, you know, y'all going that far, y'all? Yes, this is how far we're going. Because now you're not going to help everybody that's going to feel the same way about this. You understand? This is something that, like Apostle was saying, see, man, you have to have Holy Ghost direction. It is something that the Holy Spirit will be talking to everybody, but everybody is not going to put themselves in a position where it's going to be uncomfortable for them. It's going to be, Lord Jesus, where it's going to be taxing on your body and that kind of thing and stuff. So that means that, you know, I guess every night, I guess we must have got a couple of hours of sleep or something like that. And but the thing about it is, anytime, wherever the apostle goes, I'm going to stay, unless he says something different, unless he says that I don't want y'all at the hotel where I'm at, I'm going to stay right there at the hotel where he is. That's where I'm going to stay. Understand what I'm saying? Why? Because if one time we were somewhere, I don't remember where it was, and he called all the guys together and stuff, and some of them had to come from way far away to get there, and I just came downstairs. And so guess what? I was sitting there receiving the goods before they even got there. You understand what I'm saying? Like half an hour or so before they got there. So there's something that God could have said in the half an hour that could promote us, you know, to a whole nother level. But if you're not there, so these kind of things is something that has to be, you really have to let the Holy Spirit talk to you about, so that you can position yourself so that you can maximize the potential that God has placed in you, and you can maximize all that God is trying to do through the relationship. You with me? All right. This kingdom agenda, man, is something, man. You understand what I'm saying? But the thing about it is, you got to make the necessary sacrifices. You got to put yourself in a position. And see, when you're following somebody, you have to put yourself in a place where, you know, if need be, suppose the pastor call and say, you know, I need somebody to run to the store or something for me. You know what I'm saying? I know that he have his sons and stuff there with him, but if something happens and he needs something from somewhere or something, they doing something and need something, well, we make ourselves available to that. You understand what I'm saying? It's about really, here it is right here. Covenant is enhanced by the spirit of sacrifice and selflessness. If you're selfish, you'll never be able to walk in this. Covenant is not just an agreement. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. It's a life that you have to, you have to, first of all, you have to be dedicated to God. Because if you're not dedicated to God, then Holy Spirit can't talk to you about God's agenda and what God want to do in your life and within that relationship where God has called you to help to serve and help to go forward. See, this is one of the things that Apostle is in his heart to do, to train ministers so that we can do it right. Because they got so many people that's doing it wrong, so many people who are out here trying to, they think they're going to turn the world upside down. But they have no submission. They have they don't have anybody in their life who can really jerk the slack out of them without them. See, now, Apostle can come here right now, and he can rebuke me in front of y'all. You understand what I'm saying? And my feelings might get hurt. Might not. But they might get hurt. And but guess what? I am going to do exactly what he said. I'm going to take the correction first. I'm going to take the correction and make whatever necessary change I need to make in order to, because I have to realize this is not, see, just like teaching at the school of ministry, this is not mine. This is the agenda that God has given him. So I can't come in here trying to turn it no other kind of way. I have to do exactly what I'm told. One time he told us, he said, all right, now, y'all teach the class, don't be up there preaching. You understand what I'm saying? So I have, my wife watches, she watches every one of the classes, so she can let me know. I said, did I get too loud or whatever? She said, no, you did pretty good. You stay right there, you'll be all right. So she helped keep me monitored. Oh, man. Because I want to make sure that I am doing what I have been assigned to do and not try to add my own little flavor in what, no. The flavor of the Kool-Aid has already been determined. All I'm doing is stirring. You understand what I'm saying? So that is something that if we as this finishing generation, this breakthrough believers, if we get a hold of this, man, I'm telling you, there is going to be a revolution, and because they got so many of the renegades and stuff that's out there, but once we really get to a place where we really get a hold of this, man, I'm telling you, we going now. Look at 1 Samuel 18 chapter. This example of Jonathan and David, the 18th chapter of 1 Samuel. You ever heard people say things like this? You know, here they are, say, I know pastor told me such and such, but the Holy Ghost told me. No, he didn't. Holy Ghost ain't told you that. No. But that is the way a whole lot of folk operate. Well, I'm going to follow the Lord. I can't be following no man. You are a rebel, and you know nothing about covenant. I know that sound kind of harsh, but that's the truth, man. You are a rebel. What chapter I said? 18, yeah. Starting at that first verse, it said, and it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit unto the soul of David. Now, we know that Jonathan, he was the son of Saul. All right. Jonathan really was an heir to the throne. You know, Saul, you know, his father, he was really supposed to have succeeded Saul. Jonathan was. But the Bible talks about here how the soul of David and Jonathan, how they was knit together, and how they loved it as his own soul. Now, and Saul took him that day and would not let him go no more home to his father's house. And Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that he was. That's another thing in covenant. Whenever they cut covenant, they would, like I was talking about the farmer and the warrior, like they would. Part of the covenant ceremony was they would change coats, and so they would change robes. Whatever one was, the other would be Cain. You understand what I'm saying? And so when a covenant is really caught, it's really whatever the authority that person has, that authority become your authority. You with me? So now, Jonathan is the heir for the throne, But now he has exchanged roles with David. And so they were so close to whenever Saul was out to kill David, Jonathan, who was Saul's son, would warn him. Boy, that's some kind of covenant. And so you got to understand the sincerity of a covenant, though, because if you break it, it means death, right? So if Jonathan had went told his dad where David was and that kind of thing, he would have broken the covenant. And so so it said that and Jonathan stripped himself of his robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword. That's another thing. The weapon, whatever weapon it had, they had, they would exchange weapons. So whoever your enemy becomes my enemy now. You understand? So, and his bow and his girdle. And David went whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servant. But the point that I really want you to get is that David and Jonathan, man, they were in covenant together. They were so, the Bible said that they was knitted together. In other words, there was nothing and nobody who could break this covenant. You understand what I'm saying? Even his own dad couldn't break this covenant. It's powerful. Now, so then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan stripped himself of his robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, including the sword and the bow and his belt. Now, let's go to this first lesson, governing principle number one, honoring covenant in relationships, in marriage, family, ministry, team, and church life. Every breakthrough believer is the apostolic base. In the apostolic base must be trained to honor the bonds of covenant that exist within relationships ordained and joined by God. Those who walk in sin, deception, and hypocrisy, boy, this is the truth, man. This is a powerful truth. Those who walk in sin, deception, and hypocrisy will reject loyalty. We reject any loyalty, commitment, and integrity in any long-term relationship. If a person really don't want to do the right thing, really is in sin and that kind of thing and stuff. Now, this is one of the things that has really, the covenant that I have with the apostle, I have my following, him has really gave me a stronger commitment to God, a stronger appetite for the things of God, and that sort of thing. And if you're following somebody and the relationship is not doing that in your life, it's because probably you're really not connected. Because guess what? Whatever's on the head, it's supposed to come down to the body. Unless there's a disconnection somewhere. Unless there's a short circuit going on somewhere. You understand what I'm saying? So the apostle has taught me how to honor my wife to a greater degree. You understand what I'm saying? Because sometimes, you know, we think we got it all together and that kind of thing and stuff. And there's times when the apostle say, okay, you have to let your wife voice her opinion a lot of times. A lot of times we shut them down and say, you know, all right, you know, we don't need to do that, you know, before they even get it out good. So that has helped me, and really honoring relationships and that kind of thing and stuff. So we must give value to all God-ordained relationships, whether it's between Christians or otherwise. There are no two standards for relationships. In fact, the relationship between Christians should go beyond the basic righteousness of man and operate on divine principles. We must take it to the next level. marriage is a covenant, not a contract. It does not operate as a partnership between two people who mutually bless each other. If you are married, you are supposed to, it's supposed to be a covenant relationship. It can't be based on what you can do for them and what they can do for you. Can't be based on that. It has to be understood that not only are we in covenant with each other, but we are in covenant with God. We're really in covenant with God first. And so if you're not married, don't get married if you're not really ready to make that kind of commitment. Just stay single. You know, if you want to do things your way and you want to have your way and that kind of thing and stuff, because that in a covenant relationship, it really has to be given and taken. It really has to be, you know, you are taking the low road and making sure that they feel secure and that sort of thing and stuff. So that's a whole lot of dynamics that go into it, but it's really selflessness, getting self out the way. Because there's some things that God can, the Bible talks about one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000. So there is much more power that a married couple will have if they really understand covenant. You got more demons that fearing you if you're in covenant, if you're married. I'm telling you, praise God. So in a contract, these reciprocal benefits can hold a marriage relationship together, but the force to hold the couple together will become weaker over the years. No, you can't. Things can't be the thing that keep you together. You understand what I'm saying? Because what happened when the things leave? One of the things that happened, my wife and I, we've been married for 36 years. And when we first started off, you know, we really didn't have nothing. You know, I testify, I let folk know, you know, where I came from. There was times when we had to go visit somebody to get a meal. I had two children at the time. No, I had one child at the time. I had one child. And so we didn't have nothing to eat at the house, so we'd just go visit, hoping somebody would say, are y'all hungry? So we could say, yes, we are. And so there was times when we do that. And so we got to a house and there were no pots on the stove. We didn't stay that long. because we were hungry. You understand what I'm saying? And then to hear your child tell you, you know, daddy, what are we gonna eat? You understand what I'm saying? So I told my wife this. I said, you deserve better. I said, you deserve better. You don't deserve to be, you know, for me to be dragging y'all. Now the reason why we didn't have nothing is because, not because I didn't work. In the wintertime, I did semi finishing. And in the wintertime, we didn't have, you know, it wasn't working. It was raining and cold and that kind of thing. So we didn't have work. And so we had to get by the best way we could. And so so my wife, I told her, I said, you deserve better. Won't you just, I said, I love you enough that I will be willing to let you go and find somebody who can really take care of you. And so my wife said this to me. She said, if we going to do without, or we going to do, we going to have nothing, we're going to have it together. So I told her, I said, the day is going to come when I am going to be able to provide for you the way you need to be provided for. And I said to her that nobody, no other relationship will come between us. No other person will come between our relationship. And let me tell you something. There have been a whole lot of wives who have bailed out. Especially, you know, when you got to be going to folk house. And then when something is needed, you got to be going to kinfolk relatives and you got to be asking them to help you. You know they're going to talk about you as soon as you leave. And so so I was young, but something happened to me in my thinking. And I said, well, this is I may not ever find somebody who will stay with me broke, but she chose to. So that's why, you know, a lot of times, you know, I see preachers. Had a guy who was, he and I was associates, and one of the members came up to me one day and said, "Pastor, you know, the guy who's supposed to be your friend, you know, he running around." I said, "No, I didn't know that." Said one of the members came and told me, said, "Yeah, your pastor must be running around too, because, you know, they say birds of a feather flock together." I went straight to his house. I said, "Is this true what they saying?" He told me, "Well," I said, "you could at least had the respect to tell me, because if I wanted to still be your friend, at least I had the choice." And so I told him, you know, and I wasn't trying to be some holier than thou person or something like that, but I know one thing, that when you get around people who contaminated, they will contaminate you. And so I told him, I just said, we're not gonna associate. I said, "I pray for you. I'll try to help you in any kind of way I can." I said, "But if this is the road that you choose to take, then we're not gonna be able to have no fellowship together anymore like that." Because what that's gonna do is first of all, what I'm saying to that person is that it's okay to do that. So even Holy Spirit conviction, they can get past that, because they feel like, okay, if this person here still put up with me, and I understand grace and I understand mercy and I understand all that, but if a person has in their mind that this is the route they're going to take, you better get away from them. These decisions that I made was based on what I had said to my wife, that I won't let anybody come between us. So then I'm going to guard myself in any way that I can to make sure that never happened. You understand what I'm saying? So, and as a married person, you have to do this. You don't ever want to compare your spouse with somebody else. You know, I tell the people in my church, don't ever go tell your husband you ought to be like pastor, because you don't know how pastor is. You don't know how pastor might cut up when he leave the church. And you know, my wife, you understand what I'm saying? So don't be talking, don't be using me, say, be like Jesus. Don't be talking about wish you would be like pastor. And they had one, and I'm getting ready to quit. They had this guy, this lady that was going to the church, and this was some years ago. And so she was going home, and she was telling him, pastor this, pastor that. So the man came to church. The man said, "Let me see what's going on. What's going on? What's happening with you and pastor?" And the man, you know, they told me about it later. The man, he stopped his wife from going there. He said, "Because you talking about this man too much, and something must be going on." And the man pulled his wife out, thinking that I was messing with his wife. And, man, I ain't never even thought about his wife. You understand what I'm saying? So you got people that, you know, think all kind of crazy stuff. That's why I tell them, don't go home saying nothing about, say if you're going to say anything, say it, that this is what the word said. And then you don't need to be going home trying to beat them with the word anyway. You understand what I'm saying? Because that's not, till death do us part can only be fulfilled when a relationship is found on covenant, not just contract or marriage license. That's my time. All right. We'll pick up next week right there. Praise God.